So you're in the backcountry. Maybe it's your first time, maybe your 10th, maybe your 100th, and it's a beautiful bluebird day. You're touring with a few friends, and out of the corner of your eye on the uphill, you see a crack in the snowpack, and your skis begin to slide out from under you. Maybe you reach for the handle of your flotation vest or backpack, if you have one. Nope, you don't. Do the others in your group have their transceivers with good batteries, shovels, and probes? Do they know how to use them? Your life may depend on proper safety gear and the know-how to use them. Our next guest is Jeremy Jolly, U.S. Market Manager for ARVA Equipment, and we are very fortunate to have him here this morning. Good morning, Jeremy, and welcome to Mountain Money.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Right on. So tell our listeners who you are and how you got started in the outdoor products industry.
Yeah, you bet. I was raised here in Utah, down in the valley, in the Provo-Orem area, actually. And loved growing up here and just all the opportunities Utah affords and a lot of the early days of Park City. I was immediately drawn to the winter sports, skiing at Sundance and Brighton and Snowbird and going to all these different places we have in Park City. That love for skiing grew and grew. I didn't start till in high school or a little before, but, that kind of started this journey that took me into the ski industry. And so, yeah, I just got that first job, some friends and I actually kind of moved together out of high school to Mammoth for 1 year. And then we came back and I started working at Sundance Ski Area. So my initial first job was an instructor and I taught for many years and coached different levels. And then that transitioned me personally into a sales associate role with one of the major ski companies there up in Park City. And so, yeah, I tuned a bunch of skis, did a bunch of demos, kind of piggybacked those two things. And then that turned into to working as a sales rep and brought me into ARVA over the course of a bunch of years. You know, we're talking into, teaching over 10, 12 years. I worked, on that ski as a tech rep and sales associate for 19 years. And then, just enjoyed all the aspects and parts of it. And, from seeing over the years, my early memories of Park City specifically are like seeing America, the band, play at America's Cup and, watching Alberto Tomba do some stuff at parks at Deer Valley and, all those venues. My highlight, not to go on too much of a tangent, I tuned skis for one of the World Cup racers, Toby Dawson, when he won the Mogul, the World Cup there at Deer Valley. I don't know if any of your listeners saw that, but that was a fun highlight for when I worked for with tuning. And but the shops, the retail networks are great, Jan's, Kohl's, all those tune shops, and that's kind of the world I've gone to, but it migrated eventually about 12 years ago into ARVA. And so ARVA as a brand is the last independently known independently owned transceiver company. And so it's family owned out of France, and the Utah headquarters are right here in Utah. Well, we ship the nation from here. We do a lot of the customer service and everything. And so that's what I manage, the aspects of just that. And so that's the sole business I work for now. And yeah, I always did backcountry in the early days. And so it was natural for me to migrate that way. And I've always just appreciated the product and the innovation. And that's where ARVA's great to me, because it's a niche company, but it's specific to snow safety products. And so, yeah.
Wow. Okay. So looks like my iPad takes phone calls. All right. So ARVA, they are transceivers, which a lot of people know as beacons, and other avalanche safety gear. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly.
And what's some of the, you have the flotation vests, as I just mentioned?
Yeah.
And
the
backpacks.
So the products we make, yeah, are just that. Everybody, the standard is that beacon shovel probe that's been around for years, the basic essentials. And then, in the last several years, that fourth piece of equipment with avalanche airbags is another standard equipment people wear. And they wear it for themselves where you can, pull that handle, inflate the airbag, become a larger you know, object change density, and in that course of inverse segregation is the concept. You're moving with the snow, it'll pull and separate you to the top, kind of like the big nut in the mixed beer nuts. When you shake it up, the small ones go to the bottom, the big ones go to the top, and that's what you want to be, is that big one on the top.
But at the same time, you're still doing your swimming motion.
Yeah, I mean, it's a violent event. Yeah. And I haven't had the fortunate or unfortunate to be in one personally, but I've seen some big events and yeah, you definitely, you know, you swim what you can. And a third, you know, if you pull up the statistics, whether it's the Utah Avalanche Center, a lot of the area education, you know, a third of the avalanche victims are going to die from trauma regardless. You know, you're getting trauma internal, external, and those two thirds of incidents that aren't going to be trauma related, you double your odds of surviving and being on the top with an avalanche airbag being deployed.
And if someone's spending, you know, well over $1,000 for a nice AT setup with their skis and stuff, it's worth getting the avalanche safety equipment because it lasts probably longer than skis, I would imagine.
Yeah, there's some technology aspects, but for the most part, you know, and we can talk about transceivers because they've evolved and they're easier to use and have a little more ability. But the airbags, there's definitely some performance aspects. They've become lighter, they've become less expensive in a lot of cases, and it's a great piece of equipment to have. And like I said, it's the one you buy for yourself as well, because the beacon you're kind of buying for your partner as much as you. And yeah, it's nice. It's a great piece of equipment, and especially snowmobilers, you know, you got a lot of different places around Park City and Utah to go snowmobile. And it's a total standard piece of equipment with those guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I know, Summit County Search and Rescue, Wasatch County Search and Rescue, different ski patrol groups are all using ARVA.
Yeah. They've migrated to us. And it's interesting too, because there's two main technologies in avalanche airbags. There's electronic base that are fan and capacitor that inflates, or the older, more versed, more, you know, over time proven, as I'll say it, system is just the canister base that's compressed air. And so we're big proponents of that because of the simplicity of it and the performance. And what you see with ski patrols and with search and rescue is that's the technology like 80 to 90% of people, even though it's not like latest, greatest, you know, most expensive thing out there that's marketed, you know, they want the simple proven stuff that works. And that's where, like you said, both those Wasatch and Summit County are using a lot of our airbag vest for the snowmobile. You know, it's got some cool snowmobile performance. I love to use it when I ride the vest, as well as you'll see a lot of ski patrollers using it. It just shifts that weight. It gives them easier access to things in the front as well as the back. You don't have to take it off every time. And then the ability to store as much stuff as they want, because you can expand our packs out from 15 liters out to 22 just by doing an accordion zipper like your luggage at the airport, right? And that's been a cool concept that those guys have taken to, so they can fit everything and use it.
Yeah, so the fan system that you just mentioned, I got to imagine that's considerably heavier. You have a electronic motor to operate the fan. You need a battery. You need supercapacitors to take that power and immediately run that fan to a speed that will inflate the bag.
Yeah, I'll say they've gotten better. I mean, okay. It's a changing technology. It's evolving. You know, the original, you know, like the Jet Force, yeah, it was just over 2 pounds. It was located on the left side of the pack. Those batteries have gotten a little better. The capacitor option makes them lighter. But where we stand, again, is like, you know, give me performance. And, you know, people don't always think about this, but the inflation power, how, you know, because over 60% of people that deploy these in actual accidents are already in the snow moving. So whether you're upside down, you're sideways, but your bag essentially, you know, you're not in your living room blowing this up, like so many people see, and it's good to test your gear. But in a real world scenario, you could have some pressure against your pack. And so the canister systems, which again, we're proponents of and use, it has the strongest inflation power. And it's just simple physics, you know, it's going to go pop and blow. The electronics are good for traveling. A lot of people that fly a lot and go to Japan or some of these other remote places, it's a little less to deal with. We're addressing that in the US with rental options and mailing canisters and doing some, creative ways to skirt around TSA's requirement, because it's really only a North America issue with the travel. In Europe, it's not that big a deal. It's all approved and you can check them. You can carry on a full canister, but in the USA, whether it's oxygen or anything else, you can't travel with a compressed cylinder. So yeah, we, like I said, we have some cool unique options that we do on our website from mailing in an empty, and we mail out a full to your house or your hotel, your destination, or a 1 week rentals, like $30, and so it can just be there when you're there.
So if I'm going to go skiing in Canada, I'm going to jump on a plane, I can actually rent, I can bring my vest, my Arva vest, and I can rent a canister there. I don't have to, empty mine and then get it filled up there.
Yeah, that's the idea. Canada gets a little scattered, because it's so vast.
Yeah.
And we're trying to promote a little more mailing for Canada specific, but US, you're going to Toby Lodge, you're flying from the east or whatever the situation is. And then you can also, say somebody flies into Utah, they could deploy their airbag at home and then stop, 5 minutes from the airport at Wasatch Touring and have them fill it up. Or they're staying in Park City, they go to White Pine, and White Pine can fill their canister. And, locals can test their bags in the same method. They can, any brand of compressed air, White Pine will take care of you. And you just go in there, it's about $20-$25, and they'll refill it for you.
Perfect. Are they the only ones in Park City who do that? That you know of?
That I know of, yeah. Yeah, we've set them up with a refill system, and they're kind of the go-to spot for backcountry stuff like that.
Excellent. Okay, so you mentioned transceivers, and we were going to go into that. There are a lot of transceivers out there, and one thing I know about transceivers is they are useless. They're just paperweights unless you know how to use them and practice with them all the time. Is that still the case?
Yeah, it's a very good point. And everybody likes to love it and trust it, but at the end of the day, brand aside, color aside of your beacon, it's the one is the best one. And so there's become a couple standards and evolutions over time. I'd happy to go into those if you want, where, you went from two antennas to three antennas. So you get a little more accuracy and pinpoint. You went from like a standard 30 or 40 meter range where it would pick up, when you're receiving to up to an 80 meter range, like Arva's Neo's our top performer. That's what a lot of the search and rescue use, and ski patrols, it's more features than most people will use, the average person, but it's still a really easy interface. But that initial range is something that's become a nice improvement, because you get an earlier jump on the search, as well as an early signal. And then it's also a more confident signal as you've been going into that 30, 40, meter range. If you're tracking one or two or multiple signals, it's more confident because it's been tracking them longer because of that, brighter flashlight. I like to use that analogy. It's a bigger range in that sense.
So if someone is a resort skier, they don't really need this stuff, or do they?
Well, I mean, resort, which resort?
Yeah, right. If you're going to snowbird.
Well, I mean, you've had accidents in Park West and Park City that people should have had it. And these boundary gates, Utah's an interesting mix, because a lot of the resorts are private property and they'll just make those boundaries double ropes and you're not supposed to go out. We just had an accident last week out of Brighton. We don't know a lot of the details. Actually, Utah Avalanche Center put that out on the news, because I don't know if they had a chance to talk to the people, but, were they even using gear? I think they had confirmed they saw some probe marks or something. Out of 9990, you go out of Snowbird. Resorts, like, I like to use Jackson Hole as a reference, because it's just commonplace there. And they have all kinds of boundary gates. And that's one thing, Arva being specific for this space, we sell like a beacon checkpoint. And so you go up to the gate, you're going to go out, and you can walk up to this checkpoint, red light or green light that you're on and transmitting. And so they actually have one or two of those at Park City. They have one or two at Brighton. There are a lot of snowmobile trailheads, and that's, you know, a nice tool. And again, being in that space, it's something we offer. You know, money aside, we don't make a lot of margin on that. It's more of a service, but people can make sure they're beaking. I've actually been in a group once at Jackson Hole. We had about five of us, and it was an instructor group actually, and the guy from Jackson that was leading the group stopped and made sure everybody was on. And interesting enough, he got to the fifth guy, he didn't have a beacon with him. And so you know it there, and it's like, you know, for your sake and ours, we'll meet you at the bottom. You go the other way. And so that's the function of that and the truth of that, because you wouldn't want to go into an accident without everybody collaborating like that.
So what else does ARVA supply for consumers?
Well, just beacons, shovels, probes, backpacks, airbags. Then we have a lot of accessories. You know, when you get your kit dialed, you'll have a little toolkit. You'll have maybe an emergency bivy, you know, a little first aid kit. And these are the type of things that we specialize in. And it's really all we make. And that's where, you know, there's five transceiver companies in the whole world. It's a niche product, a very specific product, and it's a small market. And so these companies, you know, there's one brand out of the US, there's one they're kind of regionalized. It's funny, but Austria, Germany, Switzerland, and then France. And so of those five brands, the other four are part of bigger corporations. They sell skis and backpacks and headlamps and clothing. ARVA is a little different in that sense, where snow safety is all we do. And so just those categories is it. And that's all we focus on. So we find what I've seen over time is that we're constantly innovating in the category. So, you know, beacons, I talked a hair on three antennas and range, but what makes kind of a modern beacon to me as well is a notification for interference that's come out. And you know, currently three of the five companies will alert you when you're in search mode, and you have an interference source. So, you know, if you're on a snowmobile, if you have your phone too close, smartwatches and heated gloves actually are things a lot of people don't think about, where if you go into search mode and you have it on your smartwatch hand with a heated glove, it's kind of too much background noise. And the two symptoms, it'll reduce your range down. And so, you know, rather than picking up at 80 meters, it might not tell 30 or 40. Or if you have a shorter range beacon at 40 meters, it's been tested that maybe it doesn't pick up till 15 or 20 because of the interference. And if you don't have that alert to let you know, hey, there's some interference present, you know, and again, that's two of those brands. You kind of, you know, look at your personal model and say, hey, does this give me a notification for interference? And maybe that's a reason to upgrade and go into White Pine, you know, and look at what they have in modern stuff. And then the other symptom is like a ghost signal. So if you have, and radios aren't quite as much, but they can be a source. And this is actually an interesting thing with avalanche electric airbags, is they're running these cycles. And some of the early ones, they've had to adjust their software and firmware because it was pulsing an LED similar to the timing of a beacon. So the other symptom's a ghost signal. So, you know, you're tracking a signal with your receiving. It's 35, 32, 30, and all of a sudden it goes 12 and then back to 25. And you're like, wait, what was that? Yeah. So that's, you know, what we term a ghost signal. And so you want to be aware of the factors around you. And sometimes it's, you know, maybe it's a radio tower or something you can't manage, but it's just practice and getting to know it.
Yeah. So if we have, we have so many new people in Northern Utah, and if they want to start getting into the backcountry, how can they find ARVA equipment gear? Do you sell on the website, White Pine?
We do both. Yeah. We love to support our local retailers. You guys know the markets and how important that is. Cole Sport also carries some of our products. Backpacks, shovels, probes. But going into those stores, White Pine has the full selection with airbags and beacons and everything. Into Salt Lake if you have your preference of store down there. But yeah, also on the website, for sure you can just go to arva-equipment.com, backcountry.com, some of those shops, and they all have a pretty good selection of gear.
Excellent. And how can someone learn more about how to use their gear?
That's a great valuable question, because at any level people realize, whether you realize it or not, base level up to intermediate, advanced, there's things you can learn. Taking courses, go to Utah Avalanche Center website and look at what's available for just partner rescue, level one, level two. There's a few options people can go to and dedicate that time. The other thing too that's cool and worth mentioning, Know Before You Go program, which started in Utah and was generated awareness with young kids and old kids, and we do presentations like at snowmobile shops. It's kind of an intro, but there's also an online element of it too, where you can go to that, and there's some free information there. There's another local guy with that does beaconreviews.com, and he has a program, Steve is his name, that's online as well, and it talks about a lot of that. But yeah, to base, it's like, hey, how can I improve? One thing that's worth mentioning and relatively new as well, and this is, I think, unique to Arva in a lot of ways. We have developed an app that goes with all of our products. And so I talked about some of the features of a modern beacon. A lot of these transceivers now will connect to an app, and I think actually four of the five companies now have apps where you register your beacon. One of the nice benefits is if they have a software update, right? They're able to make their beacon perform better with one thing or another. You can update the software now from the app. Back in the day, 10 years ago, you had to take it to a store or mail it into the company, or there was some cords that were available for a couple years with a couple companies. But now you can do that just pairing it with your app. You can also, customize some of the settings, and do some things. We at Arva, actually, it's cool because you can, say you have a beacon that's, an Arva beacon that's 5 years old, you can still connect it and register it. You're not connecting it via Bluetooth, which is our two latest models. But what we offer there is a how-to library. So, a lot of those courses we talked about, you'll go out and you'll be functionally using it in the field and say, okay, it's picking up a signal here. I need to hold it like this. This is how it's going to respond and react. And then, when I get in on the pinpoint, I'm going to change my strategy and tic-tac-toe on the ground. And then I'm going to learn to probe, learn to where to shovel, how to shovel. But the other thing with us and the transceiver, because it's an important piece of gear, it's going to be that A to B. But shoveling is what takes the most time. I like to really always emphasize that, because people just fall and want to dive into this transceiver, that it's going to be do so much for you. But I like to go out with guys that do CrossFit as much as are nerded out by a manual, right? But the transceivers, knowing how they're going to reply, we have a how-to video library on that app. So whether it's our Evo BT, which you just won some awards, we launched this last year, for the most user-friendly all-around beacon by like GearJunkie.com or something. It's a good interface and easy, but when you register it with the app, you have a how-to of how to do a group check, how to do this, how to go into analog mode, and there's some how-to. So that's a cool way that I think is pretty unique for us, and so to do that. And then the last one quick thing I'll say, this is unique to Arva. We have a diagnostic test that you can do on the app, so you can ch it'll check all the internals and do a checklist
Beautiful.
from that app.
Well, we just spent a few minutes with Jeremy Jolly from Arva Equipment discussing their gear and avalanche safety. Jeremy, thank you so much for your time.
Hey, you're welcome. Take
care. Thanks, Jeremy.
See you around.
We'll be back in just a minute.